Next Sunday morning, I hope to start a few lessons as found in Acts chapter 17. Acts chapter 17, of course, is that great chapter that describes Paul's visit to Athens and his sermon on Mars Hill. And it has such relevance for us today in our culture and society. And that series of lessons will be called "We're Not in Kansas Anymore." And that is something we need to realize, is for us to understand we're not in Kansas anymore. Things have changed. Tonight's lesson is called "Set Up Our Banners." This comes from Psalm 20, which will be our text tonight. This psalm is one that's attributed to David, King David. He was a great warrior for Israel. And this psalm has a definite military beat to it. I hope you have your Bibles. You brought them. And you can open your Bibles to Psalm 20. This psalm describes David's heart. This psalm describes how David prepared for battle. It's how he prepared for battle every day. When we wake up in the morning, we are entering a battle whether we want to enter it or not. When we wake up and we get started on our day, Satan is already active. He's already there. You know, the world of sin and temptation and wickedness and evil, it's there. And so every day when we start, we are in a battle. And so when we look at some of the things David does to prepare for battle, these are some of the things that we need to do every morning as we start on our day. And I think you'll see, even though it's a pretty short psalm, that it has some real relevance for us. The first section in this psalm is the first five verses, and this is where David offers prayers. Verse 1, "May the Lord answer you in the day of trouble. May the name of the God of Jacob defend you. May He send you help from the sanctuary and strengthen you out of Zion. May He remember all your offerings and accept your burnt sacrifice. May He grant you according to your heart's desire and fulfill all your purpose. We will rejoice in your salvation, and in the name of our God we will set up our banners. May the Lord fulfill all your petitions." The very first thing David does before he goes into battle is to offer prayers. And in those five verses, he tells us some things specifically in those prayers that we need to offer. Some of these things are probably pretty obvious, some not so much. The very first thing he does, he asks the Lord to defend Israel. His name is sought for protection. May the name of the God of Jacob defend you. The righteous are supposed to rely upon Him for security. When we turn over a few pages to Proverbs 18, we see this advice given there by Solomon. Psalm 18, verse 10. Proverbs 18, verse 10. "The name of the Lord is a strong tower. The righteous run to it and are safe." One of the first things we need to do as we start our day is, just like David, ask for God's protection. Ask for God's protection. Ask for His security. Run to Him for help. Don't go anywhere else. Ask God to be with you during the battle. Because you will be tempted that day. You're tempted every day. You know, you can't get up in the morning and think, well, sin or temptation is not going to come my way today. If you think that, then Satan will just double up. So just like David, he's getting ready to go into battle. The very first thing he does is ask God for protection. Ask God for help. Ask God for defense. To be with him and to defend him. And how important that is when we start the day. We're going to meet all kinds of things during the day, all kinds of people and all kinds of temptations, because we live in that type of world. So ask God for protection. Then help is requested by David to support him through the battle. He says, may he send you, talking about God, May he send you help from the sanctuary and strengthen you out of Zion. Of course, the sanctuary was where God's presence was symbolized. So he says, may God send you help. May he send you help. We should be asking God for that. He's asking God, God, go with me through the day. God, go with me through the day. This is kind of like the disciples' prayer that Jesus teaches them, where he says, you know, do not lead us into temptation, but deliver us from the evil one. So in the New Testament, that exact same thought is carried over. Ask God for help. Ask God, you know, don't lead me into temptation where it's more than I can handle. And God says he won't. This is what David is asking for. When we get up in the morning, we need to realize that there will be temptations during the day. Temptations will come, and they may come in the most unexpected ways and places, or with the most unexpected people. David knew that this physical battle was going to be hard, and so he asked God, please help. Please be there to strengthen me. You know, when Jesus was tempted in the wilderness there in Matthew 4, what does he do? He goes to God's Word. How important is that to have God's help through his Word? So that when temptation comes, what happens? Your mind is so filled with God's Word that you can go to places in God's Word, examples or principles or commands that meet that situation, because nothing is going to come your way that God hasn't spoken about in his Word. And so we can always go there to find help. So that's another avenue that we need to ask God's help for, because he has given us the answer. In the third verse, may he remember all your offerings and accept your burnt sacrifice. Here, offerings and sacrifices are David's worship. And who is he rendering it to? He's giving this worship to Israel's protector. The very best thing in the world to do in the morning as you start your day, as you start this battle against Satan and sin, is to do what? Do exactly what David does. Worship. Start the day with worship. And what a great way that is to start the day. Maybe it's with prayer. Maybe it's with singing a song. Maybe it's with looking at God's Word and studying, whatever. But that's what David did before he went into battle. He says, I'm going to offer worship to God, these offerings and sacrifices. We need to do the same thing. When we turn to 1 Samuel chapter 7, we see an example of that. 1 Samuel chapter 7, and we'll begin in verse 7 and in the following. 1 Samuel chapter 7, beginning in verse 7. Now when the Philistines heard that the children of Israel had gathered together at Mizpah, the lords of the Philistines went up against Israel. And when the children of Israel heard of it, they were afraid of the Philistines. So the children of Israel said to Samuel, do not cease to cry out to the Lord our God for us, that he may save us from the hand of the Philistines. And Samuel took a suckling lamb and offered it as a whole burnt offering to the Lord. Then Samuel cried out to the Lord for Israel, and the Lord answered him. Now Samuel was offering up the burnt offering. The Philistines drew near to battle against Israel. But the Lord thundered with a loud thunder upon the Philistines that day and so confused them that they were overcome before Israel. Notice what Samuel did. He goes to God in prayer and he offers up sacrifices. Again, that's the best way to start the day. In your battle against Satan and against the world and against sin and temptation, offer up worship. Start your day with offerings and sacrifices. And again, that may take lots of different ways. Then he says, something else to do to prepare for battle. Verse 4, may he grant you according to your heart's desire and fulfill all your purpose. Well, what are you supposed to ask? He's asking to fulfill the plan. Whatever your plan is for the day, you need to ask God to help you fulfill it. In other words, fulfill God's will for you for that day. Maybe you know it's going to be a particularly difficult day in some area. Maybe you know it's going to be very stressful. You know, you may ask God to help you not become angry. You may be meeting with someone where you need to say the right thing in the right way. Well, that's preparing for battle. Asking God for help. Asking God to fulfill that plan, that purpose. If we go back to Psalm, or forward to Psalm 21, the very next Psalm, verses 1 and 2. This is also considered to be a Psalm of David. The king shall have joy in your strength, O Lord, and in your salvation how greatly shall he rejoice. You have given him his heart's desire, and have not withheld the request of his lips. God, even though he knows what we need and what we desire and what we want, he wants us to express it. He wants us to say it. And we need to do that at the beginning of our day. That's how we need to start the day. Just like David's preparing for battle, every day's a battle for us. We need to prepare for it. And then he says in verse 5, the last part of this first section, we will rejoice in your salvation in the name of our God. We will set up our banners. May the Lord fulfill all your petitions. Salvation and victory, he says, are from God. The military banners will wave high. Banners, of course, especially at that time, were objects, symbols that you were riding under that person's authority. So these banners of victory were there for God. He is, or especially for us today, it's Christ is the captain of our salvation. We're riding under his banner. So all that we accomplish and all that we do good during the day is because he has blessed us with it. So it's like a rallying point. Those banners are a rallying point for us. Some days are going to be really, really tough. So what does David do? He says, I'm thinking about the salvation and the victory. I'm not thinking about defeat. For us, that's the way we need to approach the day. Not in a defeatist sort of way, but asking for God to help you and thanking him before the day even starts for helping you through those difficult times. That's what David is doing. David is thanking God for victory and strength even before he enters battle. So there's what we need to do in the morning as we start our day against Satan, is to go ahead and thank God for salvation, for victory, because that's where they come from. And as we go through the day, think about riding under the banner. You know, it's Christ's banner, and that's what we're riding under, and he will lead us to victory. Thanks be to God who always leads us in triumph. 2 Corinthians. Always leads us in triumph. Same picture of victory. And that's what David is picturing here. Before he goes into battle, he's already picturing victory, not because of his strength, but because of God's strength. So look at the things we can do as we start the day, every day. All of those things are all about prayer, but specific things in prayer that you and I need to do. Then, verse 6, there's a declaration that's given. Now I know that the Lord saves his anointed. He will answer him from his holy heaven with the saving strength of his right hand. Notice the confidence that's in this verse. The confidence. The faith, the trust. It says, I know these things. I know the Lord saves. The Lord will answer him. It's not that he might. You know, that was one of the things about all so many different religions with all their different gods. They could never rely on those gods, could they? They were very fickle. But David knows he serves the true God. And then he can always trust God, he can always have his faith in God, he can always have confidence in God, that he will lead him in victory. He will do it. So he responds in a very positive way to the prayers. And it says, these come from the holy heaven, of course, where God dwells. And he says, the Lord will save his anointed. It doesn't say everybody. The anointed will be saved. Well, when we turn to Psalm 28, just a few pages on over, beginning in verse 6, Psalm 28, beginning in verse 6, says, blessed be the Lord, because he's heard the voice of my supplications. The Lord is my strength and my shield. My heart trusted in him, and I am helped. Therefore my heart greatly rejoices, and with my song I will praise him. The Lord is their strength, and he's the saving refuge of his anointed. What do? They trust in God because he is their strength and he is their shield. He knows God will hear their prayers. What a marvelous display of faith and confidence. And that's what he's showing here. Before he goes into battle, he's making that declaration. God's people, the anointed ones, are the ones that will be helped. In Psalm 140, toward the end of the Psalms, psalmist adds one thing to this that's just a great picture. Psalm 140. This is also considered to be a Psalm of David. Psalm 140, verse 7. O God, the Lord, the strength of my salvation, you have covered my head in the day of battle. The day of battle. There David pictures God as giving him a helmet of salvation, a helmet of strength, a helmet that covers his head from anything that's incoming. And of course, that's a vulnerable spot for us, our head. And so there David pictures God as being the one who gives us this helmet of strength. As we, again, start the day, as we get ready to go into battle, we need to be like David. God is going to be my helmet today. God's going to be my strength today. He will protect me today because he always leads me in triumph. The anointed in triumph. God's people in triumph. And then, one last thing. He expresses praise in a variety of ways. Notice verses 7 through 9. Some trust in chariots and some in horses. But we will remember the name of the Lord our God. They have bowed down and fallen, but we have risen and stand upright. Save, Lord. May the king answer us when we call. Those who do not know God place their trust in the wrong objects. That's a sermon in and of itself, that one verse. The people who don't know God, don't follow God, don't obey God, put their trust in the wrong things. Now, in military terms, back at this time, you know, a couple thousand years before the time of Christ, chariots and horses were the cutting edge of military battle. And so that's what many people were putting their trust in. A lot of Israel's enemies did that, didn't they? They put their trust in chariots. They put it in horses. He says, don't put your trust in chariots and horses. Those come from men. That's what people who don't know God do. They put their trust in the wrong places. Remember that Israel's kings were prohibited from accumulating large numbers of horses. In Deuteronomy 17, back when the law was given the second time, we have these words about that very thing. Deuteronomy 17, verse 16. Deuteronomy 17, verse 16. In talking about Israel's kings, but he shall not multiply horses for himself, nor cause the people to return to Egypt to multiply horses, for the Lord has said to you, you shall not return that way again. Don't multiply horses. Don't have the people multiply horses. Why? For that very reason, because they would start to put their trust in the horses and not in God. So they were prohibited from doing that. In Deuteronomy chapter 20, just another page or so over, notice verse 1 and following. Deuteronomy chapter 20, verse 1. When you go out to battle against your enemies and see horses and chariots and people more numerous than you, do not be afraid of them. For the Lord your God is with you, who brought you up from the land of Egypt. So it shall be when you're on the verge of battle that the priest shall approach and speak to the people, and he shall say to them, "Hear, O Israel, today you're on the verge of battle with your enemies. Do not let your heart faint, do not be afraid, and do not tremble or be terrified because of them, for the Lord your God is he who goes with you to fight for you against your enemies to save you." Said, when you go into battle, pay no attention to what your enemy has. So what if he has 10 times more chariots and horses and men than you do? Your enemy does not have God. Your enemy does not have Jehovah on their side. So if Jehovah decides victory for you, then you will have victory regardless of what the enemy has or does. Your enemy will be powerless. And that's true for us today. When we start our day, we need to understand that God is much more powerful than Satan. He's much more powerful. Yes, Satan is like a lion. He's going about trying to find someone he can devour. But we have help. We have help the world doesn't have. We can rely on God. We can rely on His Word to get us through all of those battles. So don't rely on things like chariots and horses, David says. They will not protect. In Psalm 33, beginning in verse 16, it says, "No king is saved by the multitude of an army. A mighty man is not delivered by great strength. A horse is a vain hope for safety, neither shall it deliver any by its great strength. Behold, the eye of the Lord is on those who fear Him, on those who hope in His mercy, to deliver their soul from death and to keep them alive in famine." Who does God protect? Those who fear Him and those who place their hope in His mercy. So again, preparing for battle in the morning, what do? We do just what David does. We put our trust in God. We put our trust in His Word and what He has left for us. We put our trust in the power of prayer. That's what we do. We do not depend on anything else. We don't depend on man's strength or any strength other than God. We put it all in His hands. We see from these verses there in Psalm 20 that God's enemies who were standing in their arrogance, see, they had more chariots and horses and men. They were arrogant. What's going to happen? They've bowed down and fallen. They would collapse and they would fall. But God's people, who've been worshiping before battle, they've been bowed down in worship. Now they're going to be lifted up. Notice the contrast between the two people in that verse. The proud and arrogant, who are God's enemies, are going to be brought down. But God's people who've been bowing down in worship are going to be lifted up. And what a marvelous way that David puts it in verse 8. In Isaiah chapter 31, Isaiah pictures this same thing. Isaiah 31, beginning in verse 1. "Woe to those who go down to Egypt for help and rely on horses, who trust in chariots because they're many and in horsemen because they're very strong, but who do not look to the Holy One of Israel nor seek the Lord. Yet He also is wise and will bring disaster, will not call back His words, but will arise against the house of evildoers and against the help of those who work iniquity. Now the Egyptians are men and not God, and their horses are flesh and not spirit. When the Lord stretches out His hand, both he who helps will fall, and he who is helped will fall down. They all will perish together." Notice he says, the Egyptians are men and not God. So who should we put our trust and faith in? God. As we start the day in the morning, we need to recognize God as the author of our strength, as the one who helps, as the one who protects, as the one who is there, and not put hope and trust in things of the world to get you through the day, because they're not reliable. And he ends by saying that Jehovah is the one that's recognized. He says, "Save, Lord. May the King answer us when we call." He is the one who saves. In Psalms 48, beginning in verse 1, it says, "Great is the Lord and greatly to be praised in the city of our God, in His holy mountain. Beautiful in elevation, the joy of the whole earth, is Mount Zion on the sides of the north, the city of the great King." He is the saving Lord. He is the one who saves. David has given us great advice on how to start the day. No, we won't have physical battles against people who have physical chariots and physical horses. But Satan knows, and he has his weapons, and he knows how to attack. So by preparing for that, offering worship, going to God in prayer, looking at His Word, using it through the day, we can survive those battles. We can survive those attacks of Satan, just like David. David knew if he trusted in God and obeyed God, that he would be victorious, and so will we. Every time we go into battle where we fear God and trust God and obey God, we will be victorious. That's an absolute guarantee. So our part is trusting in God and obeying Him, just like that old song says, trust and obey. That's what it's all about. And that's what David says it's all about too. You want victory? Trust and obey. But who? Trust and obey Jehovah, the saving Lord. I often wonder how people get by in this world without God, without Christ, without His Word. And the answer is, I have no idea. I have no idea how they get by without God. Think about how awful it would be if we didn't have His Word to go to and it being readily available. And that's why I feel so much for those people who don't in the world have it so readily available. I have copies probably just like you do everywhere. I have copies at home, in cars, I have copies at school, everywhere. Yeah, I wish I had the whole thing memorized, but guess what? I don't. And so I have to go to it. Because it tells me how to deal with every situation, every single one, and it tells me how to win the battle. So are we going to be fearful or are we going to be faithful? That's the question, fearful or faithful. Tonight, if you have a need to make that response, to come to God, to have your sins washed away in baptism, to have whatever needs you need, we encourage you to come as we're led in this invitation song. Let's stand, please.